As you'll have heard in the news, the broadcaster Gay Byrne has died at the age of 85. He had been ill for some time. Many will remember him as the presenter of The Late Late Show, which first aired in RTE back in 1962.
Live from Telefiche Erin, it's Saturday night. It's The Late Late Show.
Do you think that he owes a lot of his success to his hairstyle, fellas?
No, I don't think it helped at all.
My instructions then were to get as many people watching on Saturday night as possible, because at that time, viewing figures for Saturday night were pretty bad. That instruction, incidentally, has never been rescinded.
The recipe for Tuesday, we did them every week, you see, at a certain stage, and this was a recipe every Tuesday, and this is for the 20th of February 1973, from Manchester Cake, and obviously a very valued recipe indeed.
Today, this is from us to you, as a gift. From you two to you.
Come on. That's it. It's been a fantastic carousel. I've enjoyed every minute of it. God bless you all and good night. Thank you for being here. Good night to everybody.
What are your own memories of Gay Byrne? 030 30 80 55 55. For me, it has to be the toy show every Christmas. He spoke to Stephen on this programme a few years ago.
Day one of the Late Late Show, well, my memory was that I just happened to be in the right place at the right time and the right fellow, because RTE was just starting. It was in the very first year. A studio was vacant, the biggest studio I had, which was then Studio One, and somebody wanted to use it for some reason or another and make use of it and keep it in operation. And I had been at that time 3 years with Granada Television in Manchester, reading the evening news and doing a daily programme called People and Places. And when I say I was just the right man in the right place at the right time, when Tom McGrath, the progenitor of the Late Late Show, got the idea of doing the Late Late Show, and he, in turn, had been a floor manager in CBC in Toronto and had seen regularly The Tonight Show with Jack Parr long, long before Johnny Carson. And he wanted to recreate that in Ireland. And he was looking around for somebody to introduce it. And on the basis that in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king, I was the only one around with 3 years' experience or thereabouts of television, and he asked me to do it. And it's as simple as that. We wanted to use the studio to make use of it during the summer, solely as a summer filler. The show was put in as a sort of a talk show, cheapo, easy to do, and that was the start of it.
Before we came on air this morning, I spoke to Father Brian Darcy.
Gay was an extremely modest man, very private man, very down-to-earth man, very level-headed man. I had the privilege of knowing him for probably 40 years and a bit, I would say, but certainly 40 years. I made my first appearance on the Late Late Show in January 1982 and was on almost every year ever after that with him. At some stage, either audience or fun games or something like that, and he could persuade you to do almost anything. Just very quiet. And he was always that gentle, everybody's uncle sort of man, you know, quiet sort of man, absolute, utter professional, beautiful broadcasting voice. You know, I was lucky enough to broadcast probably with two of the best broadcasters in these islands ever, Sir Terry Wogan and Gary Byrne, both of whom were friends, both of whom began in RTE, both of whom remained friends until the end. They were exact opposites. You know, Terry would come into a studio and it wouldn't matter what, he'd just do the programme. Gay would be in his studio for a 10 o'clock programme sometime, certainly never later than 7:30 in the morning. And he'd be in and he'd talk to nobody. He'd go through papers. He'd do his own scripts. He'd rehearse how he was to say them all the time. He'd have everything very well rehearsed. And that's how he could do a script. He could read a letter as if he was composing it as he was reading it. He just had that incredible ability to read a script the way a script should be read, not as sounding as if it is read, but in a natural way.
Yeah.
But he listened intently to, you know, great listener, fantastic listener, and that's where you were in danger, because he missed nothing.
He was, of course, a master of mixing that light and shade as well. You got all sorts when you tuned into a Gay Byrne programme.
Yeah, he was an amazing man to understand what the listener wanted, as he called them. The listener, that's who it was. And he was their voice. He didn't actually get all that much support from the authorities, either of state or of church, or indeed of RTE. and in fact they paid him poorly enough for the best part of his life, because there was no there was no opposition. But he would always say to people, you know, unless you're in trouble with authority, you're not doing your job. And he wasn't a radical, and you know, he was anything but a radical. He was a conservative man himself. Internally, he was a conservative man, but his job was to give voice to the people who hadn't a voice, or the people that the authorities wanted to suppress. His job was to give them a voice, and he did. He changed the face of Ireland gradually, yeah, in his own entertaining way, and without anybody realising what he was doing, and probably without him realising what he was doing either. But he did change the face of Ireland.
To an extent, Father, he was a fearless broadcaster in that he wasn't afraid to shine a light on some things that people did, especially years ago in Ireland, things that people might have shied away from putting on the TV or putting on the radio.
Absolutely, and in fact, the most incredible quote comes from, you know, when he was talking about sex and sexuality, when it wasn't the done thing, you know, everything, nobody ever said the word sex like that. They always said sex. You know, it was kind of a whispered or dirty word it was, in reality and in life. Gay talked about it straight out, and in fact, there was a famous TD whose name I won't mention because his son is a minister at the moment, and that would not be fair, but a famous TD did say there was no sex in Ireland until the Late Late arrived.
I don't know if I should laugh at that, but that it's had that effect on me.
It became a laugh everywhere, for a time, of course. To some extent, there was a sense in which that was true, of course. There was no sense talked about in Ireland, yeah, until the Late Late came along.
Yes. Yeah. For a time as well, in his early career, he did commute between Dublin and the UK. He's working for the BBC and RTE, but essentially in the end, he came back. He was happy in Ireland. He felt at home, yeah, and he didn't feel the need to go elsewhere to try and prove himself.
He thought about it near the end of it. He was a great fan of Johnny Carson's, as you've just heard, and in fact, when Johnny was thinking of retiring, he was one of the people who's been considered for that job, and a number of stations in America did offer him money to go. But it was a risk because, as he said himself, you know, America had a voracious appetite for presenters, and they took him up today and vomited them out tomorrow. Yeah. So the insurance background from which he came always had him weighing up things. By the way, he worked for Granada in Manchester in the early days,
yes,
with Michael Parkinson as his producer. And in fact, Gay was the first person ever in the history of television to interview the Beatles. The very first interview that they ever gave was Gay in Granada television in there. So a little known fact.
Yeah. And he presented things like The Rose of Tralee that, you know, can be slightly controversial at times.
I think he did it for 17 years or something like that, an enormous amount of years. I know I was talking to Dahi yesterday, the president, he said he was doing it 10 years, but I think he said he did it twice as long, and how he does it, he didn't know. And the status he had, Dahi was telling me yesterday that the first night he went out to present the Rose of Tralee, all he could think of, I hope Gay is not watching.
Big shoes to fill.
And you know, no matter who did it, it was Gay's show. You know,
yeah. What was he like off air whenever the cameras weren't rolling?
A very thoughtful, quiet man. Had many, many long conversations with him. In fact, he came up doing a skill to preach in the ground for me too at one stage, and did extraordinarily well in that. He was very quiet. You would sit at the dinner table with him, and suddenly you'd realise that the only one who wasn't talking was Gayborn. But he was soaking everything up. Then he'd come in with a question, and then you would know, you know, that was the way it was. He was listening, and then he'd come in with a question that would flatten everybody, you know. But he was a quiet, humble man. He tried to keep out of the limelight as much as he could. He did the Late Late, had a glass of whiskey, after he finished, would smoke somebody else's cigarettes, but never his own. then we'd do a taxi, and he'd head off to Howth, and that'd be it. you know, he was a great man for live theatre. I mean, nearly anything I ever went to in Dublin, you know, opening nights and sort of thing, Gaine Kathleen were always there at it, and he loved it. And if he loved it, he'd say so. And if he didn't love it, he'd say nothing. If you tuned in the next morning and Gay was at his show in Dublin, the Gaiety or where at concert hall or wherever it happened to be, and you didn't hear it, him mentioning it, you'd know the show wasn't worth going to.
Oh dear!
Because he didn't say bad, but he didn't. But he
just said nothing at all. You know, even more in some ways to say nothing. Father Darcy, thank you very much. That's Father Brian Darcy there with his memories of the late Gay Byrne, who died yesterday at the age of 85.